Hi, I'm Dr. Katie Berlin.
And I'm Dr. Alyssa Watson.
Thanks for joining us in the Veterinary Break Room. These are short conversations where we chat informally about relevant topics in vet med. And today I have a little buddy on my lap who is snoring even though he's awake. Chihuahua lovers will know. So this is Franklin, who's making little noises like a gnome. So don't mind him. And today we are going to be talking about a recent debate that we've had within the profession, which was kind of sparked most recently by a controversy over the very popular exercise bike and app Peloton. So this has many layers. Alyssa, I'm excited to chat about this.
Yeah, it does have many layers. And, you know, as you were saying, this kind of resurfaced because of the Peloton bike app discount. But this is something that actually I've seen kind of repeated over and over, even before Peloton and even before COVID, when companies categorize, you know, when they say doctor or healthcare worker, where do veterinarians fit into that, you know, and how does society view them? And so that's, you know, one of the important conversations that I think we're going to be having today.
Yeah. And of course, it's so nuanced, you know, and there are so many opinions about this. And I think one of the most important things is to realize that in this case, like this is just the tip of an iceberg, you know, this whole Peloton thing. But basically, in a nutshell, if you have not been party to this controversy.
Peloton Gate.
Yes, Peloton Gate 2021. This veterinarian had actually asked Peloton if she could have the healthcare workers discount on the app. Peloton does offer a discount of a few dollars on their app, monthly app fee for workers in human healthcare, as well as I think some educators and students and military.
And military, yep.
Yeah. And they have a list of who's eligible, and it says doctors on the list, as well as a lot of other professionals. And she just kept getting denied for this discount. So she actually contacted customer service to ask them why she wasn't eligible. And the email, I'm going to read it here. The email said, thank you for reaching out to Peloton. The medical personnel list that qualifies must be a doctor, physician, physician's assistant, nurse, emergency medical technician, or other person authorized under state or federal law or regulation to collect blood or urine specimens. With that being said, your position does not fall under any of the categories listed above, according to the federal law. Unfortunately, we're not able to honor your request for that reason. We do apologize for any inconvenience this may cause to you. And, you know, this wasn't a good email.
I think that email, I mean, it was a poor choice. It's poorly worded. The response was, I feel, very poor, and certainly fueled something that I think could have, instead of tamping down, you know, de-escalating, I think fueled more frustration.
Yeah, especially because the list that they includes things like clerical workers, chiropractors, you know, people who are not drawing blood or urine, and, you know, some of whom barely have physical contact with humans. And so I do think that is problematic. But, you know, there are some larger issues at play here because everybody got really worked up. And I mean, I found like Reddit threads about this. It was all over social media. People were calling out Peloton on Instagram, tagging them and everything, commenting on all of their posts. And it just got really kind of ugly.
Right.
And so really, I feel like there's two different issues here, right? Mm-hmm. One is, are we healthcare workers? And if so, why don't people see that? And then the other thing is, are we really worried about this discount, or are we trying to get respect? And if so, what's the best way to go about feeling like we're more respected by who we view as our colleagues and our clients? So, Alyssa, what do you think about the whole healthcare worker debate?
So I truly, very honestly believe that veterinarians play a gigantic role in public health. And that's where we started, you know, that's one of the prides of veterinary medicine for me, is that we started out as these people guarding public health, specifically guarding the food chain, which we still do. And I don't think that there's a lot of recognition of that in, you know, with the general public. And so that takes education, because you can't be mad at somebody if they just don't know,
Yeah.
And so
I don't even think about it.
Right. Yeah. They don't think about it. Oftentimes, we don't think about it. The huge role that, a lot of these government veterinarians play and epidemiologists, there is so much that veterinarians bring to the table when we're talking about public health. And it might be kind of one of those soapboxes of mine, because I have a public health background. I never got a master's, although I looked into that, but I just have a strong medical family. My mother worked for the Center for Disease Control. When I was in vet school in Ames, I actually had a summer job with APHIS at the veterinary service laboratory. It was one of the only biosafety level 3 labs. There's just a few of them around the country. So it was like shower in, shower out, testing for blue tongue and, other viruses. And I had also worked for the Massachusetts Department of Public Health, testing mosquitoes for Eastern equine encephalitis, like when I was in college. So I have this, when I think veterinarian, I also think public health, but a lot of people don't. I understand that. And so I think elevating, leaders in the field, I mean, for gosh sakes, Pfizer, who is a household name now with the COVID vaccine, responsible for, vaccinating people around the world to try to end this pandemic. The CEO of Pfizer isn't an MD. He's a DVM. And I think that is awesome.
Yeah, that is amazing. I was really excited to find that out because I didn't know that until it was in the news. And I do feel like that stuff like that, we should pay more attention and publicize it more because that gives us a lot of credibility. Mm-hmm. And I totally agree with you. Veterinarians play an indispensable role in public health. And even to the point of just like, we are trying to make sure that pet dogs aren't shedding parasites all over houses where little kids live. We have an impact on public health every single day in the clinic, in private practice, and animal health and human health are fully intertwined. Yep. But we also are not working directly in most cases on people. And so we have a different role than a nurse, somebody who's changing dressings at a hospital, or even somebody like a chiropractor or, somebody like that who has a hands-on relationship with human patients. It's not the same. We are not less important, but it's not the same job. And I think that's where a lot of times these companies will draw the line is, are you working directly with humans in this healthcare capacity, which most veterinarians are not doing that. And that's the other thing, right? Because companies can technically define that however they want to.
Sure.
It's kind of annoying when they include clerical workers in that category, considering they're not putting their hands on patients, but
they can give their discount to whoever they want to. And, I absolutely, agree with you there 100%.
But if they're going to give a discount to X group of people, they should always give that same discount to that group and not make an exception sometimes and not other times, and sometimes deny the people in the group the discount. Like, they should not do that. They should make a decision and stick to it.
Yep. And I think that that's hard when so I just see that in large companies in general. When you get a giant company like Peloton that has, stores and all over the country and has, different people working in customer service, it kind of depends on who you get on the phone. Because there are definitely, this is another thing that as these this discussion, if you want to call it that, took place on social media.
Meaning everybody's screaming.
yes. So as this unfolded, there were actually were several veterinarians that said, well, I got the discount, and I got the discount. And I've heard that before with other things, not just Peloton, with different scrub companies, with different shoe companies. A big one that I'll tell you that, when we're talking about a few dollar discount on a luxury item, we can talk about how that, makes us look, but a big one that I find is really important are really impactful things like physician mortgages. Physician mm-hmm. mortgages sometimes will be, you know, extended to veterinarians, and other times veterinarians are denied for those. And so that inconsistency, that bothers me. I don't like inconsistency. I'm a fairness person.
Yeah. Well, and when it's that big, you would think that there would be some kind of ultimate answer that right. like loan, you know, providers should have to refer to this list and always abide by it every mm-hmm. time. And it includes every single type of person that could get that exception. Right. And that just doesn't exist, it seems like, you know, and it's so open to interpretation. It's like when veterinarians were not listed as essential workers for that first group of COVID vaccines in most places.
Yes.
And so,
yes. And in other states, they were.
And in other states, they were. And mm-hmm. like in my state, you know, I was not an essential worker, but I knew veterinarians who were getting vaccines because the place where they wanted to make the appointment said, oh yeah, you're an essential worker. You're seeing clients, you can come mm-hmm. in. But there was no like rule about it. Mm-hmm. So you basically just had to like keep trying until somebody said yes. And that just doesn't seem right at all.
Right.
Yeah. I totally agree there.
Exactly. Yeah. And so much bigger thing when you're talking about, you know, getting a vaccine for a deadly yeah. illness versus getting $3 off, you know, and that
right. off of an item that that none of our support staff can afford.
Yeah.
And probably very few of us really can afford. And that's the other thing, you know, is like dying on this hill in particular, the Peloton mm-hmm. Hill, mm-hmm. just seemed like it was not a good look for us in general, just because we got so worked up about it. And if what we're looking for is respect in line with the respect that is afforded our human counterparts, that makes it sound like we're not human, but you know what I mean. Human medicine counterparts.
We're the robots of medicine. Yes.
We're part dog. That would make life so much easier though, wouldn't it? But if we're looking for that sort of collegial respect mm-hmm. and equal treatment, then the way to do it does not seem to be to make a huge stink on social media about a $3 a month discount for a luxury item that most people in reality cannot afford. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I think that's another conversation too, is no matter what your feelings on this issue, there are ways that are more productive to talk about it. And I know there are people who disagree because Peloton did apologize. They issued an apology and they extended the discount. I'm quoting here, to veterinarians and veterinarian assistants. That's what they said in the post.
Yes.
So still somebody at Peloton needs to like do a little reading.
Right.
Yep. But
and there was a cute picture of a fit person yes. with their dog.
Yep. Yep.
And you know, and so that's interesting though, because when I saw the response from Peloton, my first response, you know, in my head was like, I still don't feel like Peloton is, I don't feel like we got our point across as right. how veterinarians contribute to public health, because right. they said, you know, are those doctors for our Peloton pets, or they tried to combine right. Peloton and pets somehow. And
it made us cute.
Yes. Yes.
and it was thought, like, okay, doctors with a lot of debt who work on dogs, you can have $3 off too.
Right. And so I'm not sure that was really the response. That wasn't the response that I was hoping for. I would have loved a response more like, you know, after this was brought to our attention, we looked into it and oh my gosh, veterinarians really do contribute so much to, you know, human healthcare or to, you know, to this, whatever they're defining their group as, you know. And so was it so much that we made the point that we fit that category, or did we make Peloton alter their category to fit us?
Right. Right. And not necessarily that that's bad, because I think a lot of the arguments I was seeing like were long replies, you know, sort of open letter to Peloton type mm-hmm. things, talking about the amount of debt and the mental health crises mm-hmm. in our profession and how heavy our load is and how clients are so mean. And like, yeah, those things are all true and they're all factors and we all have mm-hmm. to deal with them. but they're not why we are healthcare workers.
Right. I agree. No, I agree with you. Yeah.
I feel like it was aimed almost to make them feel sorry for us and not to respect us in the same way. And a lot of people were making good points. You know, we have so many skills that, like, my doctor's never drawn my blood. I mean, I don't think my doctor would want to. I don't think I would want my doctor to draw my blood. They probably haven't drawn blood for 40 years, you know? And, like, we have a lot of skills that human medical professionals have and that they don't have, like treating patients who, you know, can't speak and try to hide everything from us. Like, that we're really good at that.
Try to bite us.
I guess
rarely humans do try to bite their doctors. Yeah, so that's, yeah.
I can imagine that's really bad.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't think I'd like that at all.
You know, there might be a little double standard there in there too, as to we want the healthcare worker discount, but people are gross and we're so glad we don't work with them.
Right. That's the other thing. I don't know a single veterinarian who's like, yes, let me touch a human foot. Like, I don't want to touch a human foot. I feel like on a perfectly well person with a nice looking foot, I don't want to touch a human foot. Can you imagine being a podiatrist and having to touch people's feet all day, like, or a dentist? I just, you would have to pay me so much more than probably the average dentist gets paid to be a human dentist. And I think that's the other thing, is we want equal respect and equal treatment. But at the end of the day, if we make a mistake, it's not someone's mother, and we don't have to touch a human bedpan, and we don't, you know, there are so many things that I just would not be cut out to do. And I feel that our counterparts in human medicine deserve that respect and that treatment, and that doesn't take away from our the respect
and
that we deserve.
Yes. And that's, I think that is a huge message too, is to say we can celebrate these people, and that doesn't take away from what we bring to the table. Okay.
Yeah.
And so, you know, so from that standpoint, learning to love yourself and say, it's okay that I didn't get this silly discount. And I think a lot of people did feel like it was okay that they didn't get the silly discount. Yeah. You know, a lot of people are like, it's fine that we didn't get the silly discount, bringing us back around to the top, you know, of the episode again. I think what really kind of threw the fuel on this fire was that response.
Yeah.
That kind of, you know, that seemed to try to, you know, belittle or diminish, or is it Hanlon's razor? Is that the one that's like, don't attribute to malice that which can be explained by stupidity. So I always try to bring that to the forefront. Like,
It's just ignorance.
Automatically assume that someone is malicious, when it could just be that they don't know or don't understand.
Yeah.
And that's a great place to step in and educate.
Yes. And educate in a way that is open to a conversation instead of a lecture. I think social media just lends itself so well to the lecture.
It does, because it's so easy to, you know, you get reading those comments and it's so easy to say, oh yes, I want to add my two cents, you know, but there's so many, I mean, think about that. You'd never be in a room with that many people that would all pile on like that.
Yeah.
But
that would be a scary room.
Yeah.
I don't want to be in that room.
Yeah, no.
I don't
want to be in that room. It wouldn't happen. You know, I really do.
Yeah. Most people would be much more respectful in person.
Exactly. Yeah. And the other thing too is that sometimes when you type something, the intent of it gets a little lost, you know, because there is no person-to-person facial expression and tone, and all the emojis in the world don't make up for looking at somebody and talking to them.
Yeah. And listening to them. You know, if somebody says, I don't think vets are real doctors, like, the way to get through to that person is not to list all the reasons. The way is to have a two-way conversation with that person. And it's very hard to do online with a stranger. But I do think this is a really good place for us to realize there's a hole. You know, we educate pet owners about parasites and, you know, about why they should get their dog a Lyme vaccine or whatever, like why senior blood work is important. But that's one client in our office one for that one 20 to 30 minutes. How can we create resources that show clients and the larger public on a broader basis all the things that we do and are skilled in and are trained to recognize? You know, I think there is a hole there. Mm-hmm. It kind of goes back to, you know, what we were talking about in the personal branding conversation, where, you know, personal brands can be really helpful for stuff like that, I think, because they can really show the inside of what it's like to work in veterinary medicine, and all of the things that we can do mm-hmm. that affect humans.
And working with our human non-robot counterparts.
Yeah.
So, like, if you at home haven't looked into the One Health Initiative, it is awesome.
Yeah.
So that's a whole nother conversation. We always do this, Katie.
I know. And now we're not going to be able to have that conversation.
I know.
There's a great book called Zubiquity. Have you mm-hmm. read that? Yeah.
Yeah.
So Zubiquity, I can't remember, Barbara Horwitz, maybe? She's a cardiologist. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it's a great book. And I heard her talk one time, but yeah, I mean, One Health is really important mm-hmm. concept. And I totally agree with you. Like, we don't talk about it enough, and it's fantastic.
Yep.
So
that will be a conversation that we wish that we could have had today, but we just didn't have the time for.
Yeah. There are so many conversations, I think, that as a profession we have, like, between a couple of people here and there, but mm-hmm. we don't necessarily realize that everybody is talking about them, or that, you know, we could connect over these broader topics. And so, you know, I think these are great, because they kind of highlight just a few of those things. And I hope people are getting something out of it and going and talking about these things with people in their own lives too.
Exactly.
After they hear these.
Yep. Even if you and I don't get to talk about them on the air anymore, which I'm so sad about, hopefully you guys can have these conversations at home with your colleagues, because get in the veterinary break room, sit down with a colleague and talk about some of these other things, these broader topics that really do, you know, touch on veterinary medicine, because we have such an impact. It's so broad.
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess that brings us to, on a positive note, that brings us to our wins of the week.
Yay!
Alyssa,
did you have
a win this week?
I did have a win. So it's tangentially related to veterinary medicine because my youngest son is 7. And we went and got his first COVID vaccine.
I know.
So trying to get back to normal. We're trying to get him fully vaccinated before the next Spider-Man movie comes out, because we have not seen a movie in the theater, you know, for like 18 months now.
Yeah.
So the kids really want to see Spider-Man. So we went and got him his vaccine. The nurse at the pharmacy that gave his vaccine was fantastic. She was
That's
wonderful
awesome.
Because he is very scared of needles. He had a bad experience when he was almost 4. He was very sick with an immune mediated disease called Kawasaki disease. And he had to have a spinal tap, and he was in the hospital for over a week. And it was very, you know, he remembers it. It was it's something that we always have to deal with anytime we're dealing with needles. And so this nurse was fantastic. But the reason I bring it up is because as he's crying and she's trying to talk him through what's going to happen, he kind of, you know, said that he knew exactly what was going to happen because his mom is a doctor, you know, and
I said,
and I said, I'm a veterinarian. I give a lot of shots. And then the nurse launched into how she always wanted to be a veterinarian, but ended up being a nurse. And so it was great. She did fantastic. I'm so thankful for her, because she really helped my son through this. And I'm glad that he's on his way to being protected.
That's awesome. That's fairly exciting. My dad had
you?
that. Well, my dad had that conversation with an emergency room physician one time, because my dad, you know, he's a proud vet dad. And so he was wearing a fleece vest that I got him that had the Cornell Vet School like logo on it. And he was wearing it when he took my grandmother to the ER one time. And she was okay after the visit, but, you know, he was worried. And the ER physician shows up and is like, "Oh, are you a vet?" And my dad says, "Oh, my daughter is," you know, he's all proud. And the ER doctor was like, "I always wanted to be a vet, but I just couldn't get into vet school. So I went to med school instead." And I think my dad was kind of like, "Should I ask him to get away from my mother?
Should I ask for someone different?"
But he decided to give him the benefit of the doubt because it is really hard to get into vet school. Like, props to all of the vets who get into vet school and get out and become veterinarians, because that is, that alone is a tough thing that many doctors could not do. Anyway, yeah, my win. So I, you know, I do acupuncture and I get to spend, you know, 45 minutes to an hour with patients for those appointments and at least one of the people too for that hour. So it can be a little bit like a therapy session. You know, there's a lot of talking. It's, things are moving slowly. We just get to know each other really well. And I've been seeing one family. I actually knew them at my last job. And so I, for general practice and acupuncture together, I've known them for over 10 years. And they have golden retrievers and they're just really charming people. They really grow on you, you know. And we only let one client in during COVID. And so we've had video calls during all of their appointments for acupuncture with their 13-year-old golden, with one of them in the car and one of them in the room. Oh. And so we just, you know, it's story time. It's really fun.
Yeah.
And that golden's name was Riesling and he passed away a few weeks ago, pretty unexpectedly. You know, he had cancer as goldens do, but it was really sad. And they got a puppy and she's definitely a woman who can't be without a dog, you know, and she got a golden puppy and I got to meet him last week. She brought him in and I just stood in the parking lot and snuggled him for like half an hour. And he's like one of those perfect golden puppies. It's just like, he's just like dead weight.
Right.
He just, he just wants to be held, you know, and he would have sat there all day and he was so snuggy and he had that smell, the puppy smell, you know, he's so fluffy. And it was just one of those moments where you're like, this is why.
Right.
You know, like this is why it's totally worth all the stuff. And like you could go snuggle a puppy somewhere else, but it wouldn't have that, all of that emotional weight behind it, that puppy snuggle. And it really meant a lot because, yeah, I'm leaving the clinic.
Yeah.
I'm not just leaving Brief right now. I'm going to be leaving the clinic at the end of this year and going to a full-time remote position. And so I don't know when the next time is that I'll get those puppy snuggles and have those relationships. And so, yeah, that's a whole other question is like, do I get a veterinarian discount if I'm sitting at home working on a computer? I don't know. Anyway, well, I'm going to leave you guys with that to mull over because that's a whole other thing, you know, but it was a good moment and it was a good kind of way to start wrapping up the last 12 years that I've spent building these relationships in the clinic. So
that's beautiful.
A good win.
Yeah.
Anyway. Well, I guess that's it for today. And Alyssa, we'll see you.
Yeah.
Very soon. I won't, but I will be listening in and a fan from afar. And,
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure.
We will miss you so much around here. I can't even.
Same.
I can't even tell you.
So. Same.
But we're so excited for you. So good luck.
Thank you. All right. Thanks, guys, for listening. Thank you for listening to today's episode of Veterinary Break Room. If you enjoyed today's episode, you can find us wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. While you're there, make sure you subscribe, rate, and review. You can also listen to podcasts on our website at cliniciansbrief.com/podcasts or drop us a line at podcasts@briefmedia.com. Veterinary Break Room is a Brief Media production produced by Alexis Usri with sound by Randall Stupka and co-hosted by Dr. Alyssa Watson and Dr. Katie Berlin.